The liturgy gives us an opportunity to reflect once more on the law, specifically on the difference between the old law and the new law, or the, I could say, how far the new law surpasses the old law. But as soon as we bring up this topic, we have lots of associations from experience and from culture and from history, associations with the whole idea of law. Everyone knows the basics, you know, law is what you have to do or what you can't do, but it's a part of defending justice or promoting justice. But there are all sorts of laws, and the more you think about this or look into it, the more complicated it gets, because every authority has laws, and then every person under authority has to follow them, and then whether you're talking about the civil law or the church law or the natural law or canon law or the moral law or the rules of the liturgy or the rules in your own household, you know that it gets to be quite complicated. Anybody who's ever told a teenager to put away a cell phone knows that the question of who's got authority and who makes the rules and who enforces them and what are the consequences if you break the rules, it gets really complicated really fast. And our experience of the COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in an explosion of laws. I mean, there's laws about everything now, things that we didn't even think about before. I remember last year when the lockdown first started, people said, this is worse than martial law. I didn't live here during the era of martial law, but people who did said, in martial law, we had a lot more freedom than we have now. And we're still in quarantine, as everyone knows. So with this explosion of laws and rules and protocols, guidelines, everything has become quite burdensome when it comes to the topic of law, or so it would seem. Just yesterday, we started our triduum, and so after the Mass, we were going to pray our prayers, including the chaplet. And because I took the microphone off the altar and put it down there, so we had Eucharistic exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. So I went over there to lead the triduum. Well, the only other microphone is that one, and according to the law, I'm not allowed to touch that microphone. This is too much. So I broke that law. By the way, one of the laws still in place is that people over 65 aren't allowed to go out of their houses. I notice that there might be some people in this very chapel who are breaking the law. And you know, laws about face masks and laws about face shields and laws about everything. There's even a law, I had forgotten all about it until I was back in the parish. There's a law, I don't know if it's from the diocese or from the bishops, that at communion time, the priest is supposed to say the body of Christ one time, and everybody says amen at the same time, and then during the distribution of communion, nobody's supposed to say anything. That's a protocol, a guideline, law, or whatever. Well, I don't usually observe that law myself, but sometimes when I say the body of Christ, the person receiving doesn't say anything. Okay, because that's the law. Don't say amen at the risk of spreading the virus to the ministers. I'm just pointing out there's lots of levels. There's divine law, moral law, and then there's the minute details that have been examined during this pandemic. Everyone becomes a lawgiver, and everyone becomes an enforcer, and everyone becomes a judge. It will take us a while to recover from this. You might know this. We're so used to it now that we're so quick to judge how people are following or not following all these rules IATF and DOH and I don't know how many other initials, that when all this passes away, and please God it will happen soon, we will not be that free in ourselves because we've internalized so many rules. I'm not saying that these are bad. I'm just saying that this is a part of our experience in the time of the pandemic. Now, when we turn to the scriptures, before we get to the scriptures, let me mention two examples of law that are in the news currently. I'm talking about in the church. Just last week, the Pope issued a formal proclamation of a revision of canon law. Maybe this was not wasn't in the news, but in Catholic news, it's rather big. The canon law, meaning the law of the church for herself, is not that big a book, but anyway, one of the sections, the section on crimes and punishments, was thoroughly revised, and that was officially concluded last week and declared by the Pope. So people say, well, there's two extremes here. One extreme says, why does the church have a law at all? Because isn't law leftovers from the Old Testament, and why do you have to have laws? And the other extreme is, well, we should have more laws because look at how many bad things are happening in the church. So in between, the church is trying to improve her legal code. If you ever look at canon law, it's quite difficult to read because it's got all kinds of legal language. But there's a section on authority, on bishops, on dioceses, and on pastors, basically, and what they can and can't do. Then there's a whole section on marriage, which is quite complex. And then there's a section on basically on the clergy. There's a section on crimes and punishments. And what the commentators are saying now is that section on punishment, after which was written after the Second Vatican Council, was very lax and very vague, because the attitude back in those days, this 50 years ago, was, well, the better thing is just to admonish people to be better and don't impose punishments. And don't be so specific in the law, let the bishop or the superior decide what to do. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but you know what happened. There was this phenomenon of clerical sexual abuse, and it wasn't that clear in the law what to do about it. So one bishop handled it this way and another bishop handled it that way, and a lot of disorders were allowed to remain without justice and without punishment and without correction. And so the church is growing in wisdom and saying, we can't let just every bishop do whatever he says. We have to make sure that these crimes don't go unaddressed. So that's part of the reason for the revision in canon law, on book 6 of canon law. The other example of law in news these days is that some dioceses, not here in the Philippines yet, but in Western countries, some dioceses are removing the dispensation from the obligation to attend Mass on Sundays. You know, when the pandemic came, the bishops rightly said, you're not obliged to go to Mass because nobody can go to Mass anyway. So that it was in order to clarify that there was no obligation, no legal obligation to go to Mass on Sunday, the bishop said, okay, back off and let's wait till we get through this. So there are places where they're through it, and there's not a danger of contagion or a very little danger. So the bishops, some bishops have said, okay, well, now that obligation is reinstated, which raises the question about law again. Well, so many people who look at the obligation to go to Mass on Sunday as a burden, they felt free. Now I don't have to go to Mass. And then when the bishop says, no, now you have to go to Mass, they say, oh, now I have to go to Mass again. Their attitude toward that law is rather Old Testament style. And this is inevitable. whenever there's a law, people will interpret the law in the legalistic way, the letter of the law, and miss the spirit of the law. Okay, well, that brings us to these readings today. Jesus, this is at the very beginning now of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's the beginning of the section in which Jesus is going to clarify and deepen the meaning of the law. Here's the principle. I'm not abolishing the law. I'm not saying there's no law. I'm not saying you don't have to follow the law. I'm not saying that the law is bad. I'm fulfilling the law. I've come to not abolish, but to fulfill. Not even the smallest part of a letter until it's fulfilled. So this is the principle that will guide the readings that will happen in the next several days, where Jesus will say, you have heard it said, this and that, but I say this. You have heard it said, you shall not murder, but I say, you don't bear anger. You have heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I say, don't commit adultery in your heart, and all these things. So this is the principle. I'm not abolishing the law, I'm fulfilling the law. Which Paul speaks about in the distinction between letter and spirit. It might seem like he's saying something different, but it's actually the same principle. The letter of the law, well, he calls it the letter that brings death. It's a little bit of a what's the word for that? Exaggeration to make a point. What's the word for that? Hyperbole. That's hyperbole. It's not that the letter brings death. It's not that the old law was killing people. His point is that the law, the letter of the law, doesn't have the power to save us. It gives us wisdom, gives us guidance in what to do and not do, but even if we follow it perfectly, it won't save us. So the letter of the law, the old covenant, as good as it was, as glorious as it was, it's nothing by comparison to what Jesus has established, the law of love, the law of the Spirit. And so the point is of Paul is built on what Jesus says here. I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to take it to a level that is life-giving rather than simply guiding or restricting or enslaving. People look at the law as a kind of chain. That's why when the bishop says, now you have to go to Mass on Sunday, or now this obligation is reinstated, some people react like, I'm back in a chain. Well, that's letter of the law. I'm missing the whole point. Why is it so important that we go to Mass on Sunday? Not because it's a law, but because it's life-giving. We need to pray together. We need to worship God. We need the sacraments. If we don't have the sacraments, if we don't worship God, our life is death. Talk about slavery. Okay. So, as long as we get this principle in place, then we can evaluate all sorts of levels of law. I was joking about the law about people over 65. Yes, that's the letter of the law. It's the letter of the law. You can't go out of your house, except for urgent necessities. Well, I think it's an urgent necessity that people worship. And so I don't think there's any violation going on here. I think it's an urgent necessity that people worship God and receive the sacraments. So that's spirit of the law. I think it was an urgent necessity that I used that microphone yesterday. Okay, you get the point. The spirit of the law is to interiorize the will of God so that we would not want to do one, we wouldn't want even one letter of the will of God to escape our hearts. We want to be so united to God that everything he says, everything he wants, everything he loves is what we say, is what we want. Huh? You see it? It's not simply because it's imposed, because it's within. So this is Jesus on the law, and this is St. Paul on the law. The law given in the past was glorious, but it was a fading glory. It could not ultimately accomplish its own purpose. It was only a preparation. So the law that we have received is has an unfading glory. It leads not only to legal righteousness, it leads to eternal life. The law of the Spirit is the law of love, the law of life, and that's the law of Jesus Christ. So as we prepare for our celebration of the Sacred Heart, we're not celebrating law in stone, we're celebrating the law that emanates from the heart of Jesus and is planted in our hearts.